Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
So I believe today the Lord's putting us on track more and more with His plan. There's an overarching truth to this year that the Lord wants us to understand more about His kingdom, more about the King who is Jesus, more about His Father, the Heavenly Father. Today I want to point a little bit to the Heavenly Father because Jesus taught us that if we have seen Him or we know Him, we can know who the Father is and we can understand the Father. Now recognize, there's no higher authority. So we want to know our Heavenly Father. You know, I remember growing up, once in a while, Mom would say, "Your father's coming home." And no matter what was going on, it cast light on the future. And it made us adjust our thinking according to our understanding of what she meant when she said, "Your father's coming home." It usually didn't mean he was bearing treats. It usually meant his eye was already cast our direction. And sometimes it meant a little bit more straighten up, or there might be a moment of truth. Understand that Jesus came and interjected Himself right there, where indeed we did deserve a moment of truth. Scripture calls that reconciliation. The Heavenly Father knew we couldn't be good enough to be reconciled like it was in the garden before Adam and Eve fell, so He sent Jesus to be our mediator, to get in the middle of things. He sent Jesus to get in the middle of things, not to partly fix it, not to be the big brother that would say, "You got to do it the way I'm telling you," but to be the one that would set us up to succeed, to be the one that would do the work so that we could enjoy the benefits. Jesus didn't invent that thought. It was the Heavenly Father's heart from the beginning. No, your Heavenly Father is the one who's always been watching out for you. Know that He's the one that had a plan for mercy before we knew we would need any. Know that He is the most generous being that there is. His heart is to always do right by you, even when you may have done wrong by Him. Because Jesus stands in that place between us and the Heavenly Father, and the Father's looking to Jesus, not just as the beginning of your faith, but as the finisher. He looks to Jesus and He says, "I know because of Jesus, Brian's going to turn out all right." Then He goes to the next generation and says, "Well, no," He says, "they're going to turn out all right too." they were ready to sweat as soon as I said the next generation. So I had to mess with them a little bit. I want to say today, just because the Lord dropped it in my heart, how proud I am of the next generation. Looking at the worship team, saying, look at what God's doing. And of course, it's in every place in the church, but it's right before us every Sunday. And I want to say something about Mr. Tim Carter. Thank you for your faithfulness. You don't know this about him, but I know this about him. He works in Champaign and sometimes further away and travels back here, not once, not twice, but at least three times a week. Comes rushing in many times, like throwing layers off to get there in time to do his ministry. And I want you to recognize it as a ministry. I heard the Lord say, and this is why I point you out, I wanted to point you out because I'm proud of you, but I also heard the Lord say that He surely will reward that faithfulness. And for you to lay hold on that blessing, there's some things about to be changing for the good that you've committed to Him, and it's kind of private, so I won't go into it, but He said to let you know the time's come. The faithfulness of God will pay off and you'll begin to see it. But He said for you to begin to say it when you're driving around. Just begin to say, "The faithfulness of God in my life is bringing great glory to Jesus." and blessing and prosperity. He said to your house. He said to say it that way. So, Lord, acknowledging one of our young men. Well, we're proud of all of our young folks and so many engaging in ministry. Why? We believe that they're supposed to. I believe that's the Lord's plan, and they want to. More important than we believe they're supposed to, they want to serve the Lord and bless Him. Well, I love that. I think that that sets them up to expect the blessing of God. Now we can start. I wanted to say that, and it was fine with me that it's. I guess you're on Facebook, Tim. So they might want to face shot and turn around. Let all the ladies see who Tim Carter is. He's a single young man still. All right. Now, he didn't expect that, but it didn't hurt to advertise just a little bit. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. His face is red, so we got to move on. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort that will comfort us in all of our tribulation. That means no matter what kind of trouble, or even if we imagine it's trouble. Did you know you can have tribulation in your imagination and expect something to go bad that never goes bad, but it'll torment you as bad as if it already gone bad? That's what he means by all. He, even before tribulation hits and we expect it, he will be there to do something about it. Now, I want you to understand that he used the word tribulation and mercy together. That means we have to have an expectation that even when we're not doing well, he's doing well on our behalf. Even if we don't recognize yet we're in trouble, he's there to move to make a difference in the trouble. This year I have one overarching thing that I want us to understand is who our Heavenly Father is. And we learn that by looking to who Jesus is. Jesus told us to. He said, if you've seen me, talking of himself, if we've seen Jesus, we've seen a picture, a snapshot of the Heavenly Father. Well, Jesus is telling that on purpose because our Heavenly Father is a clue as to how we're supposed to turn out. So if he is going to comfort us in all tribulation, then part of our life is about that, dedicated to that. Now, the best comforters, human comforters we have, are the ones that know when we're in tribulation. And they know how to comfort. Instead of saying, well, brother, you brought this on yourself. They're the one to say, let's get out of this and let me help you. And what do you need? And rather than asking what to need, it's the best comforter is the one that already knows what you need. Lucinda and I have an unspoken code that doesn't require words. We know when the other one wants to be petted. Say, what? Yeah, back rubs, head rubs, neck rubs. I mean, you know, I get real tense sometimes in my neck and my shoulders because I have congenital birth defect. Well, so does she. You know, so interesting, we usually need the same thing at the same time. And we do have little sounds we make. Well, there, we'll let those remain private. That are the call to be a comforter. Understand, our Heavenly Father knows us even better than that. He knows before we have any symptoms how to comfort us and to help us in every situation. And he is just aching to do it. We have moments when we both want our neck rubbed at the same time. And it's kind of like, oh, as much as I want to relieve and help your pain, maybe I can get mine first. Say, really? Yeah, you think like that sometimes too, right? Isn't it funny? And I think this happens in couples that grow closer. We kind of get in synchrony that way. And when one is thinking something, the other one's thinking. When one is needing, the other's needing. When one wants to do, the other one wants to do. And I just think that's the goodness of God. Now, the Father of mercies, he can't wait to give us what we need before we have any inkling we need it. And because Jesus is there between us and the Heavenly Father isn't looking to see do we deserve it today or not. The Heavenly Father is not waiting to hear the next bad thing from Jesus. He's always hearing the same thing from Jesus. They're wonderful and they love you, Heavenly Father. Ooh, what I could have paid as a kid to have somebody telling Mom and Dad that all the time. Yet that's who our Heavenly Father is, and that's Jesus' role. And the Heavenly Father put Jesus in that place on purpose. The Heavenly Father only wants to hear good reports on His children, so that's all He's going to hear. I want you to understand who your Heavenly Father is. He won't hear any trash on you, because Jesus took all of that on the cross, you see. He's not going to hear of it. I don't know if you're like this, but I expect you're like this. You can talk to your kids about something, but somebody outside your house better not take the liberty to come talk to you trash about your kid, even if it looks like it might be true. How much more our Heavenly Father cares for us than that? That He put a barrier between what would be our sin and His throne that can't tolerate it. And He said, I'm never going to see them through the eyes of sin again, because Jesus took their sin. That's not an excuse to live in sin, but it's sure a motivator to want to please God, because He took the barrier out of the way to give us liberty. How wonderful when we were in trouble and Mom said Dad was coming home, that Mom would acknowledge our great efforts to fix things before Dad got there. We became our own best advocate. I wouldn't trust the brothers to get me out of trouble if I was in trouble. I would represent myself to the throne of Mama and help a little extra and volunteer to wash the dishes instead of put them away, and maybe run and fold a load of laundry, let her see me carrying it to the bedrooms and put it away in the right place and everything. I knew I needed an advocate, and I didn't have one that I could trust on a human plane, so I had to be that. If we're not careful to acknowledge Jesus, that will be our approach to our Heavenly Father. And we'll all the time think we need to defend the last three things we've done wrong, when all along Heavenly Father is going to come home at the end of the day to check on us, already expecting everything to be fine, because from His vantage point, everything is wonderful. I want you to get a hold of that. That's who our Heavenly Father is. So, well, why then are we learning these things at church of how to live for Him? Because we want to please Him. Because He's that generous and He's that wonderful. And we're in covenant with Him, knowing He paid it up front. Jesus paid it up front. So we could choose to live a life of gratitude before Him and say, I am going to do better. I am what Mom most wanted to hear, rather than the moments of penitence in helping, was, Mom, I'll do better. I won't be a smart mouth next time. She'd raise an eyebrow like, okay, I'm going to remember you said that, 15-year-old dude. I said 15-year-old because I remember 15. Now, Jesus wants us to enjoy this mercy that the Heavenly Father is. It's who He is. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we think about, oh, I need the power of God. I need the authority of God. No, we need the person of the Heavenly Father, and we'll have all that He is. We'll have that mercy. And it's mercy that's in gear. It isn't mercy that's on reserve. It's not waiting to see. It's mercy that's already being given. You know, sometimes we got to recognize the car's in gear. Have you ever put the car in reverse and had your foot on the brake and taken a phone call and forgotten that the car's in reverse, and you take your foot off the brake and it surges out? If that hasn't happened to you, then you've not been on the phone when you shouldn't be. But if it has happened to you, you understand there are moments where we're learning how to engage. We've got to pay attention to what's happening. Understand, the Heavenly Father is always in gear to do you good. He is looking for us to understand who He is. I hear people say the phrase, well, I'm believing God. Well, if you're going to believe Him, we got to know who He is. If we're going to believe Him, we got to know what He says already. That's why we're hungry for what does the scripture say. That's why we don't make things up to teach. What's the Bible say? Because I can't believe something I don't know from the scripture. That's where I find it, you see. Now, this is Ephesians chapter 2, New Testament, written to a church. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Mercy is another word for compassion or love, or that kind of love that's spilling out all over the place for us. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. That means the anointed life of God. He's quickened us. He's stirred us up. This morning, this message is designed for you to choose to be stirred up. As much as I would like to have the stick to stir you up, you own the stick. All right. I'm just going to tell you what to do with that stick this morning. Now, he said, for by grace are you saved. And that word we think is past tense, but it's also present tense. We keep receiving of what Jesus has done for us. He goes on to say, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means he's done something that is so complete that heaven already sees you as there, even though you are physically here. God so finished it that not only is your place made in heaven, God looks out across heaven and sees that you're already in there. That's how sure he is of the work of Jesus. So sure that what Jesus did was adequate for you, that he's not just made a place for you, he has made a place that you are in right now as far as he is concerned. That means it's a done deal. Every so often when I'm feeling a little insecure, I think about it's a done deal. I'm glad it's a done deal. It doesn't mean I have to be feeling it all the time. I just have to know it's true. Now, he said that in the ages to come. Well, the ages to come is this afternoon, as far as I'm concerned. All right, part of it, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us through the Lord Jesus. Now, it's talking about something that we have, but we can forget about having. We can forget we have it. We can get too busy. We can get too inundated with responsibility or challenges. I like to use the word challenges instead of problems. I don't know, challenges sounds a little bit easier to overcome than problems. So I would encourage you that you can receive a little more divine vocabulary by thinking about what words impact me more positively than negatively. Say, really, Pastor? Yes, really. Yes, really. Helps us think more appropriately. Now, he's telling us here that we have something that requires a quickening. That means because I hear it, it doesn't mean I get it. Welcome. Doesn't mean because it's available, I'm going to benefit. There's something that has to happen called a quickening. We experience quickenings all the time. Sometimes quickening is in our physical body. Sometimes it's in our mind. If we sit down and we're facing a great mental challenge, or, you know, doing the book work or doing the taxes or planning something out or mapping a budget, or, you know, there's a process we have to go through, and we've got to get in the gear for that process. It's quiet. I'm the only one that has to shift life's transmission. I mean, we go from quickening to quickening to quickening. You are American. You are alive. You have responsibilities. The transmission of your life is changing all the time. And God is saying, I have a gear for everything that you're ever going to face if you'll trust me. Did you know God's transmission has a reverse? To back us out of trouble. I'm thankful for that gear, or I'd have to hop out of the car and push it. And it isn't going to push as fast as I can move it if I put it in reverse. And sometimes I got to move quickly. Now, I share that because you need an understanding of his mercy. His mercy can navigate you into or out of anything in a snap. That's who he is. Now, we can either feed the quickening of God, or we can deprive it. We can either feed what God wants in our life, or we can deprive it. A deprived quickening will leave you yearning. God is yearning to fill our yearning. this morning, if you feel a little bit separated because you've been too busy, been there, done that. You're a little separated because you've maybe, I've just not been in the Word very much this week. Oh, I've been there and done that too. I've not prayed enough lately. What is enough anyway? I'm going to tell you, a little bit of quickening can catch you up real quick. See, sometimes we think, oh, I must do penitence. Remember when I was naughty, having to do penitence for mom? I told you, I'm not going to tell you specifics, but I'm running around the house trying to do nice things to help mom, make sure she sees. See, sometimes that's our attitude toward God. Well, it's Sunday, and we even will put a little extra effort in how we look, and, you know, but what we're expecting a quickening. But we're expecting a quickening in that we think we're maybe behind because we've been so busy being quick on other things. Understand that whatever effect this world and responsibility has on you, God's faithful to always keep you quickened enough if you turn to Him. What's the quickening? It's a stirring. It's a stirring that I can point to the stick, but you have to decide what to do with it. You know, my responsibility before the Lord when I stand before the judgment seat as pastor or someone called to serve the body of Christ will be that I've done what He told me to do in making available to you what He wanted you to have. Then you will be responsible to have done whatever with it you're supposed to do with it. And I have to step back and trust God to show you that. So this morning I'm telling you, it's never enough to hear what pastor says. It's never enough just to read your Bible. It's never enough to just think one day this is going to change my life because I'm looking at what it says. We need to know who's behind the words. We need to know that Heavenly Father that says some things are just going to rub off because we spend some time around Him. Some things are just going to happen because of who He is in our life and we choose to trust Him. Some things are going to rub off. I learned to watch my dad and how he treated my mom. And when mom would be the most happy or most excited. And I thought, if I do those things, then mom will be happy and excited when I'm around. And you know what? I was right about that. And it was great training for having my own wife one day. Why? God wants us to know His nature by knowing who He is. We spend time finding out who He is by looking at what the Scripture says and then choosing to act on that. Choosing to, as a kid, you're experimenting with it, really. Learning how do I behave. You learn to behave like a dad from your dad, especially if you have a Christian dad. If you don't, you say, Jesus, help me. And He will. Why? He gives us earthly models. Now, our adoration has a role in this. If you're going to be quickened by the Lord, you have to adore Him, is what the Scripture says. Now, a picture of adoration, we're jumping now to Psalm 103 because it's one of the greatest pictures that we can do in a short amount of time. One of pastor's greatest aggravations is how much time do we get to say something that's on God's heart? And I don't know, I just feel like we're just challenged always to, what's he? He's so huge, it's hard to do. But this is a pretty good picture in a few verses of who our Heavenly Father is. Now, I want you to understand what our adoration does. When we're adoring Him, it's worship. When we're worshiping Him, it really means to what degree do we adore the Lord? How much do we put in this relationship with Him? I'll share from a man's standpoint. I haven't asked Lucinda about the lady's standpoint, but I hope it's at least kind of similar. The moment that should mark your understanding of adoration in adult life, there are a number of them. One of them, and one of the first that a young man should experience is coming into the season of getting married. And she has agreed. And even before she agreed, he adored her, or she would not have agreed. If she's a smart woman, she would have said, I'm looking for something from this guy that is beyond he thinks I'm pretty. I'm looking for something from this guy that is beyond he enjoys being with me. I'm looking for something in this guy that says he will do anything for me. He would live and die for me. He would help me raise children. He would be faithful to me. She's looking for adoration. And if she's a smart girl, and she is, she'll want to drag out that season of testing adoration. Why? This is a pretty big commitment. And he is hoping in his adoration of her that there will be some form of communication back. It shouldn't be that quiet. I know I'm not off track. That's a reality that God put in us to understand how relationships are meant to work. They are commitment-based and commitment-tested. So God says if we want to adore Him, to what degree we do adore Him will be the degree He draws near to us, will be the kind of relationship it defines, the relationship where maybe we start out as a stranger. Then we become a friend. Then we become a notable friend. Then we become more than a special friend. Then we become maybe a sweetheart. Why, I'm mirroring the closest thing we have in earthly relationship to the kind of relationship we are meant to have with our Heavenly Father. Now we can think of Him as a parent, but He'd rather us think more like the sweetheart. That's why Scripture says that Christ Jesus is to the church what a husband is to be to his wife. He drew the parallel because we're supposed to have the same kind of commitment and attractions and understanding to our Heavenly Father because we want to do eternity with Him. When we're looking for an earthly spouse, we're thinking we were going to do life together. And we're looking for, in initiating love, we're looking for something to be sent back. Across the room, it can be a message. I love watching young couples that don't know that I know that they're sweet on each other. And whether they've had a date yet or not does not matter. Why? You can see during anything, the most important moment, even in the service, they're casting eyes toward their beloved. And it's fun when you see beloved notice and look back. Why? That's the beginning of something that could become very special if they choose to act on that communication that was nonverbal and put words to it. After we put words to it, there's a drawing near. When there's a drawing near, sparks can fly. When sparks fly, things happen. And that's the nature of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's who He is, and that's what He's after. He knows what He wants. Now, He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That means I offer adoration on purpose. It isn't like something that's coming from the obscure part of your life, your inward man. No, it's coming very intentionally from your thought center. Have you ever, I remember us doing this where it was sort of at first illegal to notice her. She was a young lady in the church. We didn't really know each other very well. But I remember several friends saying, "I think she has something for you." And I said, "I don't think so." And she was hearing, "I think he has something for you." Well, you hear that enough, pretty soon you're looking to check out. Could that be true? That's who your Heavenly Father is. If He hears something of your heart, He's going to be gravitating to make eye contact. He's going to maybe fix how His eyes are talking. You'll learn that when you fall in love with somebody. You learn how to talk with your eyes. Because it can be easy to say, "That's not what I meant." And you can send a message very clearly what you mean without saying words. That's how the Heavenly Father always looks. He's adjusted how He looks. He can't see through the eye of judgment. He's not looking for what's wrong. He sees us in light of what Jesus did right. Boy, is that hard to do person to person consistently all the time. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody around you could put on those glasses? Well, we can't, but God does. Now, He says, "And all that is within me." That means you can get stirred up as much or as little as you want to. He says that all that is within me bless his holy name. So when I say full on worship, it's up to you whether it will be for you or not. What does that mean? Giving it your all. Saying, here I am, total surrender. Because you're wonderful, God, I'm here. How wonderful it was in our relationship when I didn't have to worry about getting all fixed up before I would encounter her. That didn't happen till well after we were married. Why? I was not taking any risk that I wouldn't be just so. Why? And she was doing the same thing. Then after a while, we recognize I can trust the commitment of this relationship, and it goes a lot deeper than what can be seen or what can be said or what can be understood on the surface. We got something more going on than that. Isn't it wonderful to have a relationship like that? That's what God wants. He wants to convince us we're secure enough in him that when we bless his holy name, he says, I receive you just like you are right now, and I want you like you are. And what does he do? When we spend time with him, he rubs off on us, and whatever wasn't right, he's kind of polishing up and working up, fixing it. Now, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Well, his benefits tell us more about who he is. And I want you to see, this is even Old Testament, and God hasn't changed. He's the same. It just got easier because Jesus came. It became a done deal because Jesus came. Understand, your deal is sealed with the Heavenly Father once you accept Jesus into your heart as Savior. Then we begin allowing him to become Lord, and things get better and better and better. We come into a security in that relationship when Jesus becomes Lord, like a husband and wife do after appearances are not so important anymore. They're still important. You still want to look nice for each other, but there are moments that that is not the top priority because there's something else more important going on. And every couple learns that, and they learn that I have invested enough in this relationship that I can trust that I may not seem to be at my best right now, but there's going to be something happen that is monumental and important in my life. Ladies experience that in childbirth. And if you expect her to look like she did on your wedding day, change your mind. Be very careful what I said right there. Because it may start out that way. I watched her. She started out that way. But by the time all that work's done, you're not focused on, I wasn't even thinking about what's this girl look like, except, man, I'm glad I'm a man. I'm glad I'm the daddy. And I didn't want to say that even too loudly for a while, because she was intensely being mommy. And we recognize the intensity of our life moments are the very times that we have to bank on the investment being deeper than the surface. That's who our Heavenly Father is. He's there knowing what we're going through, and he's saying, I wish I could make it easier. I wish I could make it better. I remember thinking that in the middle of labor pains, thinking, I wish I could make it better. And I remember all of the men I've heard say that she turns to you in that moment and says, this is all your fault. She didn't do that, thank God. Now, and forget not all his benefits. Why would he say that except we can forget? Why would he say that except we can become separated from his benefits because we're separated from who he is? If we know who he is, we know what we can have. I knew, dealing especially with grandparents, what I could have being around them. I knew what was in their pockets. I knew what was in the kitchen. I knew what was in the pickup truck. I knew I could access what they had if they had ever let me see that I could have access before. I remember asking a grandfather, can I get in the glove box? He said, as long as you don't want my cigars. Yeah, he had other things in there, treats for me. He had his treat, I had my treat. And you learn things like that, and our Heavenly Father wants us to learn from the experience what is available all the time. He wants us to never forget that. He wants you, above all, to remember who he is by his benefits. I want you to understand that. He wants you to know who he is by his benefits, or what happens when you interact with him. We got to hit them quick, but we might hit them a little slower another day, because this is going to be an overarching theme. One of the things this year that the Lord wants us to know, who Heavenly Father is, how generous He is, how He can't wait to do the next best thing in our life. If you're sitting here today saying, I find that hard to believe, my job is to make it easy for you to believe. And I'm going to work at that because it will pay off in your life. It'll be something that changes you. Why? You can have faith in somebody that you know their character is good. But if it's questionable, what's in the glove box? I'm not opening it. I'll wait till I'm around somebody I know a little bit of history of. So let's look at who He is. Who forgives all your iniquities? That means He pardons us and He spares us. Well, we know He did that through the Lord Jesus. Forgave our sins, and then he pardoned us from everything we've messed up so far. He even looked ahead and He said, I choose to pardon them in the future, but I hope they get smarter than they used to be. Because once we receive forgiveness from Jesus, we kind of recognize, whew, this was good. I believe I'll not cross the line again. Now, who heals your diseases? Present tense. He still does it. It's who He is. He can't wait to do it because He's the Father of mercies. He has a salvation mercy. He says, I'm going to jerk George out of hell. Aren't we glad He did? Yes. I'm glad He did for me too. I'm not going to leave George hanging out there like he's a special case. But then we might be jerked out of hell and need some healing in our body. Our Heavenly Father also is that guy. He's saying, I can't wait to also have that mercy on them. Well, I didn't deserve the mercy of being saved. We know rather we deserve the other place, the other end. But God, in His richness toward us, said, I'm going to fix all that before they ever encounter difficulty. And I'm going to give them the mercy of salvation so they don't have to worry about hellfire coming up and eating them up. Thank you, Jesus. Then, as their body gets a little older, they're going to need me as healer. They're going to want me as healer. And God's looking down in His mercies and saying, poor thing, I want to heal them. I don't want them suffering. And instead, we're sitting there thinking, I brought this on myself for my stupidity in my youth. Everybody's stupid in their youth to some degree. Why? We're youth. Don't be upset, fellas. You're smarter than most, all right? Give our kids around here that. They're smarter than most. Why? They're out to see what God's about. That makes them smarter than most. Now, His mercy, He said, all your diseases heal. Well, I choose to believe that. So if you find that hard to believe today, hang around. It'll get easier to believe. Well, we'll look at the scriptures. What was it? See, it's easy to believe He can save us from hell. Why? Well, that's the serious one. The most serious. I remember being scared halfway into being saved. Because the preachers in those days say, you are going to hell, young man, without Jesus. If you've ever had a wicked thought, I'd be like, I'm in big trouble. Salvation is a mercy, but there's another that's healing. I want you to have hope for things to be better than they are today. That's who our Heavenly Father is. Now, thirdly, who redeems your life from destruction. That means if the train tracks are headed toward the cliff, your train is not going to go off. He will circle the tracks back around to what's right. It doesn't mean that we have to back up the train. It means He's laying the tracks out. Because it says he makes the crooked places straight. Or He causes the end of the line to be the beginning of something new. That's who He is. So what does He do? He redeems our life from destruction. It means He buys us back from being a slave in this world. Some of you, as I was praying this week, the Lord's revealing to me. And I remember at times in my life feeling like, uh-oh, I sure feel like a slave in this situation on my job. And I learned to say, now, Lord, this is a job. I've not had a job that I don't believe the Lord gave me. I believe I prayed and He gave me something. But then I had to learn to pray to let God move in my job so that I wouldn't be a slave to my job. Why? It says it's another one of His mercies. He redeems me. That means He's going to buy me back where I've maybe sold myself out more than I should have. Oh, how easy it is to have that kind of demand on you at work. How challenging it is for our young people in the early years of their working life to find a job that doesn't make them work on weekends. how difficult it is to find an employer that will honor the Lord by saying, you go to church on Sunday. I remember telling my employer that, and he said, we don't do that in this company we work. And I remember walking away thinking, no, Lord, I prayed for a job. This one came up, and you said, take it. Why the conflict? He redeems my life from destruction. Wasn't long working hard and doing what I was supposed to do that I got to call my hours. That's what it means to be redeemed. Anything that takes you away from God, He's redeemed you from. And it's a matter of saying, that's who my Heavenly Father is. My situation will change because of who I belong to. Jesus' name in my life counts for something extra. Why? He wants you to know that. It isn't because you're going to earn it, it's because Jesus earned it. Buys us back from slavery. Anything that tends to bondage, He paid the price for. How easy it is to get in bondage and not plan to. How easy it is to feel like we're behind the eight ball and we sure didn't intend for this to happen. Well, He'll switch it up for you. That's who your Heavenly Father is. And He can't wait to get at it. He just needs us to agree with who He is. Now, who crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. That means around your head. He's going to change your thinking. He's going to first have you understand who He is. We can't have the mind of Christ without understanding who our Heavenly Father is. He says, I'm going to let you see how I am merciful towards you. He wants you to understand He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And He wants you to get that in your head. So what does He do? He has us wear that and think about that for a while. It is the weight of your crown that will lead to the glory of God in your life. Understanding that's who He is for you. So much so that He says, you're a king and a priest if you will believe that the tender mercies of God are great toward you. See, we don't receive it because of performance. We receive it because of Jesus. And Jesus said, I take my crown and I give it to you. And you wear it in the glory of God while you're on the earth and expect my blessing to be upon you. And then when we start thinking that way, it makes us more like Him. And we learn to be more merciful and more loving and more kind, because we know He's doing that for us, and we just decide, I need to do this too. He can't make you more loving and more kind and more tender toward people unless you let Him be that first for you. So if you're having trouble doing that with people, He wants you to draw near to Him so that you'll stop having trouble seeing yourself like Jesus does. He says, I've put the crown of life on you already. Well, I'll let that sink in. It means He moves toward us in His goodness and kindness so that we begin moving toward people the same way. That's what it means. Then I love the last couple of things, and I've got to say these today because it all adds up. Now, He says, who satisfies your mouth with good. Your Bible might say things, but things isn't there. Good is. Who satisfies your mouth with good. That means to satisfy, to enrich, to ornament. Or think of it this way, put the jewelry in my life with pleasant prosperity. So we teach prosperity here, but I teach it in line with God's Word. He has done it because of the relationship He wants to have. And as we believe what He's done for us, we come into an understanding of, wait a minute, this is who He is. In the Garden of Eden, God didn't lock them out at the beginning. He gave them the keys to go in and out and do whatever they please and expand the garden. That's what all of us really want to do in our life is, Lord Jesus, let me have some sense of security. I will work, I will invest, I will remodel, I will do whatever I need to, but I want this little nest, I want this little life to be comfortable for my kids, for my family, for friends to come. We have the need to have a little kingdom in us. God put that there because he wants us to understand what he has already done for us in setting us up to think the way he thinks as much as we can. To satisfy and enrich and ornament me, how he's doing this through my mouth. See, everybody thinks it means we're going to eat and live well. Well, that's a tiny bit of the meaning. It does mean he's going to feed you good. I like that. I like to eat what I like. But that's not really what he's talking about. He's saying, I'm going to give you the words of your mouth. You're going to have what you say. You're going to speak to the mountain and the mountain will be removed. You're going to speak for things to change and things are going to change. And it's going to add up over the course of your life. If you learn to talk the way God talks, he said, it's going to add up to the end of your life. Good things are going to be coming to you because you spoke out good things in faith, believing that he has already done it. Our words connect us. See, he's building here. And he's saying, you're going to get to the point that your mouth is expressing what I think about you. You're going to be willing to say, I know God's blessed my farm. I know God's blessed my business. I know God's blessed my family. I know in the middle of whatever I'm seeing, the blessing of God is on this. And you might say, is on this mess. Because there's times that's what you're doing. You're blessing the mess, hoping God will bless it and sort it out. He is all about that. Now, all this, so your youth is renewed like the eagles. When we get over there in the right perspective and right attitude, we'll want to turn back the clock. God has the ability to give us the perspective when we gain his wisdom to go back and have the energy we wish we had now that we had then. Have you ever had more energy than time? More time than money? And things just didn't balance out. Thought, if only I could have the future salary at this time when I'm young to invest to do this. Everybody's thought of things like that. God is saying, I'm going to renew in you the ability to make everything stack upright. In the latter years, you should have the energy, joy, zeal, enjoyment in life. If you're past a certain age, you remember when you had more energy. You remember when the projects didn't any of them seem too big to tackle. You could do anything. And you wore the Superman shirt. A number of you have those and you put them away because you feel not like that so much anymore. But there are moments that you remember. God is saying here, if you'll do what I say, the tables will be turned because this is who I am. I'm the one who never wanted you to lose anything of the best in life. I'm the one that if you will choose to trust me and you will put your tongue engaged along with kingdom principles, I will move things back around and rearrange your life where the latter end is better than the former. That's who he is. Hebrews chapter 8 says Jesus is the mediator or of the new covenant. And that means he's in the middle today wanting to move you closer to the Father of mercies. Hearing what I'm saying will not get it for you. It will invite you into the presence of God. It'll invite you to have an encounter with the Father of mercies. It's on an individual basis. Everybody is welcome. He calls it the throne of grace, and he's saying, this is the blessing place. And we decide whether we believe that or not by our engagement. Choosing to be faithful, to be there when God's doing something. Choosing to be there to be the vessel of love and kindness toward another person. Choosing to be hungry for the things that matter to God. When we make those kind of choices, he is moving to rub off on us to become like that. He knows the end from the beginning, and he knows wherever you are in the process, and he wants to reconcile you to what he has in mind. And what he has in mind, he doesn't have any kids. I want you to understand this. He doesn't have kids by natural birth. He has us by adoption. And we come into the family because he chose us. He chose us before we knew we existed. And he chose us because he had a plan to bless us. And there's no exception. That's who he is. That's who your Heavenly Father is. That's what he will do for you. Stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, this morning we give ourselves to you. We're going to learn more about who you are, Father, as the Father of mercies. Father, I ask this morning in this congregation that you move in our midst right now to stir our hearts, that we receive that stirring. We cooperate with you and say, I want to know more about this. I want to receive more. I want to be more like my Heavenly Father. Sure sounded good this morning. If all of that's true, sure sounded good to me. Well, we know it's true. You're the Spirit of truth and you can't lie. So Heavenly Father, we embrace who you are this morning. We believe you're moving in our hearts and in our lives to change us to be more like Jesus. Father, we thank you for this moment of stirring. But Father, each one will receive according to what's in their heart to receive. But we're going to move closer to you. We're going to trust you more. We're going to begin exchanging words and not just a glance once in a while. We're going to have a conversation with you to find out all about you. Because when we find out about you, we learn about us. Father, thank you for the process of revelation. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.